Thank you, Brother Allen. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to a familiar place in the Scripture, Jeremiah 33, if you would. All right. Jeremiah 33, if you would. The message today will be about prayer. The title for the tape room will be this, simply, The Adjustable Wrench of Prayer. The Adjustable Wrench of Prayer. I don't know how many of you know what an adjustable wrench is? All right, about half of the crowd. All right, if I said one size fits all wrench, how many of you would understand then? All right, now I've got the rest of you into it, all right? But it kind of looks like a wrench. It just has a jaw that you can just keep moving and moving and moving. And I will say that I've never seen an adjustable wrench that was one size fits all. Now, I've seen a pretty big one. But there's some things I still don't think you could put it onto. But when you get in the attitude of prayer or in the area of prayer and realizing how big our God is, if prayer was taken and leaned into the area of a wrench, there's nothing too big for our God. There's nothing that he can't, again, and for us, we don't like the idea of him adjusting to, but the sad fact is that we like to throw the monkey wrench of things of sin and everything else in God's way, and we think that, but he is a great God. He's a God that nothing that you do, by the way, just let me remind you this, nothing you do is going to surprise God one iota. Amen. God has it prepared. He knows what's coming. And you say, well, I don't know. I don't like to think that God knows that I'm going to sin. Well, God gives you a way of escape. And if God knew to build a way of escape, then he knew what you was going to do before you were going to do it. And he built a way for you to escape it. What a God we have. What a God we serve. And then for God to give us a tool in our toolbox as Christians that, let me just say this, is not used as much as it ought to be, is prayer. Oftentimes we'll go as far as we can before we look up and call out to an almighty God. When instead of one of the greatest things would be, now this week I'll just kind of tell you where the message came from. We took our group out on Thursday. We headed up on I-4. We got off on, we tried to get onto 417. And one of the newest, nicest air-conditioned buses we had made a big popping sound. And a hose came off. Now it wasn't a water hose. We didn't have no water on the ground. Do you know all that was missing was air? It was just the air that went into the middle of the motor. Ought to be pulling that fresh air in and that turbo. And guess what happened to the motor? It lost all its power. It could still run. It just ran at maybe an eighth of its power. Do you know oftentimes, I just started thinking. I was standing beside the bus, and I went and I asked Brother Danny. He was driving the bus, so that's why it broke. Sorry, Brother Danny, I know it broke on other people before that. But anyway, so now you're asking me why we took that bus. That's a story for another day. Jeremiah 33, the Bible gives us a look here at what God tells us to do for him. But oftentimes, you know, I thought about this. We got in that bus and we knew what was wrong, but we didn't have any tools to fix it. And I had to get in the van, I had to drive somewhere else and buy tools. And before I left, I got some tools and I said something to Brother Danny, what do we need? And we weren't sure what we needed necessarily. And before I left, I bought an adjustable wrench. Guess what we used to fix it? The adjustable wrench. Because all the other stuff I bought didn't fit. Because we weren't exactly sure what we needed, but you know, the blessing of God's toolbox for the Christian, he gives us all kinds of armor for us to put on and things that we need. But one of the greatest things that God has given us, not only as a defense, but also a weapon, is prayer. Most of us, we complain more about what will happen in the upcoming election than we will pray about it. And I'm just going to tell you, complaining never changed anything. It didn't change most people's course of action. It doesn't change what God could step in and do if we ask God to do it. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, if anything is going to fix this current election, it's going to take the adjustable wrench of prayer. Because neither one of them nuts are tightened up right. I mean, if you watch that thing, I'm just telling you, I thought both of them ought to have been sent to the principal's office. One of them would have had to lead the other one to the principal's office. But they both should have been sent to the principal's office. Amen. But the adjustable wrench of prayer allows God to do something. And one of the things that I think we often miss is, I think God is always there, waiting in the wings, begging us to call on Him. To change the things that are going on wrong in our world. He wants to act. He wants to change those things. He wants to do something for us. Some great and mighty things. But oftentimes we don't ask, right? Sometimes we ask amiss. Instead of wanting our country to have revival and to turn back to God, we want our country to be profitable and prosperous again so that we can live outside of God's rules and put money in our pocket. That's what you call asking amiss. Let me ask you this today. Why do you want God to turn our country around? Is it so that souls can be saved? Is it so that we can have revival and lives can be changed? Or is it so that you can just keep on clicking on and keep putting money in your bank account and so that you don't have to pay attention to God or the liberal man? We live in a day and age, if we're not careful, we as Christians want God to do what we want Him to do, but then to leave us alone. Here in the scripture, God calls out to His people. Now, I know the primary writing of this scripture, and it's not been all that long that I preached on this, but I think oftentimes we need to preach often on prayer because it's something we keep leaving in the toolbox. We want to check every other tool before we pick up the tool of prayer. We would rather use our bare hands and try to fix it ourselves rather than use the tool that God gave us that we're supposed to use by faith. Do you know when you pray, you're asking God to do something for you? By faith. Think about how many times you try to do it yourself in the flesh, and then when you can't, you ask Him by faith. Wouldn't it be better? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, where I grew up, and the Christianity that I was taught was that you first pray, and then you put feet to your prayers. We ought not put feet to the work until we've bathed it in prayer first. Folks, he says here, look at verse number 3 in chapter 33, primarily written to the Jew. God was going to bring judgment on the house of Israel and Judah and everything around. And God was bringing it he's told Jeremiah, who is the weeping prophet, that he's going to do these things. But in the midst of this, God speaks to Jeremiah the second time. How many times has God talked to you about this? How many times has God, through his prophet or through the scripture, told you, prayer is the thing that you're lacking or the thing that you leave in the toolbox on a regular basis? Look at what he says here in verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Verse 3, call unto me. Now listen, that sounds like a command, but if you want to boil it down, God's asking you to pray. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, he goes on and he knows God is telling them what they ought to do, and he's going to tell them that they're not going to. And all the things that are going to come about for them. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if we could apply this to us, it has been generational for us. We have been preached to, all my life I've been preached to, if we don't change, if we don't call upon the name of the Lord, if we don't seek God's faith, I mean really seek His face and pray, to call out on His name, that there was going to come a day when we are going to reap what we have sown as a country. And oftentimes we think we've already met that place. But some of the very legitimate things that came out in the debate, just in case you missed it, was what wars we would be entangled in and what would go on. And folks, whether you know it or not, The world itself is at a tipping point. Not just us in some political fight. And if you're not careful, all you'll think about is our economy and how that will affect your household. And that's such short-sighted thinking, because I'm going to tell you right now, the economy is not the only thing at stake. There are things at play, and people who do not respect our country or those in leadership, especially when they get up there, the two candidates bicker like two schoolboys arguing over where they're going to play golf and who can play golf better. We're in a mess. And there's only one thing in the toolbox that'll fix it. And it's prayer. And then after you pray, you beg God and you seek His face, then you put feet to your prayers and you go vote. Amen and amen. You say, preacher, July 4th is around the bend. We ought to be thankful for the past. But in the present, we ought to pray. The only reason we made it to the present is because people in the past, when everything was on the line and before they went out to battle, they found a place, a quiet place in the woods. And they begged God to change the outcome of battles. And a little force that should not have won wars, that should not have been able to conquer the greatest military power on planet Earth, overcame great and mighty things happened, and they prevailed. Folks, I'm telling you, do you know God's not above? If He did it for them, He'll do it for us. The same adjustable wrench that they had, we have in prayer. The same God that they had, we have today, and we can call out upon His name and He'll answer. I want you to see number one today, right here in the scripture, He says, call unto me. There is a request of God Almighty for you to call on His name, for Him to take action in your life. What a day it would be for you to call on His name and for Him to show up. And that day not only be, listen, for those of you, if you're not saved here today, that would be a great day for you to call on His name in salvation and for Him to show up and save you. But for the rest of us saved folks, is that the only day that God's ever showed up in your life? Is that the only time that you've ever reached in the toolbox that somebody gave you and that adjustable wrench, and you didn't have to pray just an even prayer, but in repentance and humbling yourself before an almighty God, you called out to Him for salvation? And through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His finished work of Calvary, He saved you and drew Him near yourself. Listen, I don't know about you, but listen, in my life, when I go back to who I was, and what God had to save, I was unlovely. I was a sinner. And Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, saved me when I called upon His name. No questions asked. He didn't ask about my past. He didn't ask about what I was going to do for Him in the future. He came and saved me that moment that I called upon His name. He didn't mince words. He didn't know what was going to happen in the future. At least I didn't, but He did. And everyone, whosoever has ever called upon the name of the Lord has been saved. Call unto me. It's not something we just do in salvation. It's something that we ought to keep doing and keep doing and keep doing for our nation, for our family. Listen, folks, a lot of us are good most of the time to pray for our family. But why don't we go past that? Instead of just us four and no more of our family and those inside of our house, why don't we put a little bit more time in? After we click off that first minute of naming everybody that's in our immediate bloodline, or folks that live under our roof, why don't we click off another minute and say, God, you want me to pray and call on your name? I'm going to call on you for my church, for my spiritual family. And then after you've gone through that, why don't you go for your countrymen? For our nation. The men that if it was called on, you don't share the same bloodline, but you would bleed with them. For the same place that we call home, the place that we hold dear, the place that has a flag that we all hold dear in our heart. Listen, I'm telling you, we ought to pray for our family, but we ought to pray for our spiritual family and our countrymen. You know that would take you all of two more minutes to call out your church and the people that make it up. And then to say, God, pray for my nation, my country. I pray you'd turn it around and bring it back close to you. You say, well, that's not a very specific prayer. You can get more specific as you go, but wouldn't it be great if today every Christian in this room decided to go past just praying for us and those that live in our house. We went past that. It would change the world. If we on a consistent basis would call out the, not the names, but our church and those that make it up. And then we prayed for our nation every day. It would change. Listen, great and mighty things would take place in your life that you could see. And God would do it because you called on his name. Look at what he says. And God guarantees it. Call unto me and I will answer thee. God asks you to call on him because he wants to answer. God wants you to know that he's real and wants you to see that he can show up and take care of the needs in your life. Oftentimes, we like to take care of our own needs, and the ones that are outside of our reach, we pray for often sometimes and putting God on the spot and put him in, and he has to act in our time. Rather than asking him at the beginning and then putting our feet to the prayers, and we watch God work through us and others to meet the needs, not only of our family, but of our church and of our nation. Answer me. Now, I want to tell you, God has always been good to answer me. It ain't always been the way I thought he would. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, I think if, you know, we ask God for money, that the banker ought to walk down here and give it to us, right? That ain't usually how God works. Because the banker ain't always a saved banker. Do you know that I've learned over the years that I've been saved that oftentimes the people that God has their heart are usually the ones that give? And when you ask God to give something, usually God gives it through people that you know or people that know God and walk with him on a daily basis, and he puts a burden on their heart. Hey, listen, you would think that with all the things of the past and what the government has guaranteed New Mexico, that the federal government would have taken care of their needs. That the federal government would show up with a great big check and make sure everything was grand over there. But that ain't how it works. I can tell you right now, if Brother Chitty was up here and we could get his testimony, at some point, he bowed his head in his heart and asked God to burden somebody, to help him with a need that he had. And God burdened the heart of your pastor. And he put it in my heart to go there with a group of people, to have a missions trip and to go somewhere and to be there, boots on the ground, and not only put our prayers to the work and our money to the work, but to put our hands to the work and our hearts to the work. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, God works that way. And God doesn't just reach out and get random people. God gets those that are his own. And where he, listen, God does great and mighty things. You know, it's not just good for Brother Chitty. Brother Chitty and those that are in his church are not the only ones benefiting. Do you know who's going to benefit? We're going to benefit from that. The blessings of God in our lives will be, listen, that'll be a blessing. That's to our account in heaven. Do you know that it's not just going to be to our account in heaven, but it's going to be when we see our young people come back and be excited to see God work and to do things and use them to do things. Guess who else is going to be excited and be blessed because of it? Our young people and our adults that have gone and been a part of it. And when we hear what God did through them and in there, and they hear it firsthand from them as they give account of it, we'll realize that God answered our prayers. Not all of them the way we thought they would. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, 10 people saved already. Listen, that's not great and fertile soil where people just get saved in droves. That was a blessing to hear that. That's just the beginning of what God has done. To hear that a lot of the work has already been taken care of, that's exciting to me. And then he goes on, and God does it. So he requests, it's requested by God. Prayer is received by God, and he answers them. I want you to see this. Prayer's results. Look at what it says here in the scripture. It says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know about you, but knowest not to me means that I couldn't even think up what God was going to do. I didn't even know how God, when I ask God to answer my prayers, sometimes I don't really know what to ask for. So God gives me what's better, what I've never seen. I didn't ask for great and mighty. I asked for small and piddly. And God showed up in a great and mighty way. Folks, I believe that as a church, sometimes we've been just praying for slim pickings when we serve a great God. Wouldn't it be something if we just, instead of asking God just to do something small in our country, to do something small in our church, if we started asking God, God, why don't you have your will and way? God, you have your will. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not sure what God's will exactly is in every area, but I know this, that it's God's will that all men be saved. And sometimes when I pray, I don't pray for all men to be saved. I pray, give us 10. Give us 12. Give us 15 today, when God wants to save every one of them. God's will to be done in a place, man, that's something God can do great and mighty things through our church. Sometimes we limit God because we ask some small things instead of asking him great things. To do above all that we could ever ask or think is the same way this is saying, can you imagine that which thou knowest not? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, God is a great God. And he answers in great and mighty ways. And those are not always our ways. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes the great and mightiest way, sometimes in your life, and I'm not just talking about our country and our family, but there are times in my life where God has said no. And it was one of the greatest and the mightiest things in my life, because God shut a door or shut a way for me to go when wasn't the way I was supposed to go. Do you know sometimes God, when God shut doors, he opened something great and mighty. Sometimes when I head in a direction that I thought I was supposed to go, and something I thought I was supposed to keep open, something I was supposed to do, all the I's that I just said, God was nowhere in all of them. And when I asked God to take my I out of the way, and God, you put you where you want me to be, and God shows up in a great and mighty way and does more than I could ever ask or think, or things that I don't know. Things that thou knowest not. Turn with me to Luke 18. This passage of scripture here is directly connected to prayer. We do not have time to read all the scripture. In verses 1 through 7 of chapter 18, it talks about repetitive prayer. We've seen that God wants us to request prayer of him. We will receive an answer if we pray, and we realize the results are great and mighty. But I want you to see here that God, when we pray, this is something with repetitive prayer. When you don't get the answer you want, or it doesn't seem the answer has come, it ain't time to quit. It's time to keep praying. God speaks here in the scripture of how there was an older lady here, a widow lady that had no way to avenge herself and begged the judge, the judge that was not a righteous judge in the town, the one that wanted to do things for himself, and she begs in verses 1 through 7, and finally, because he's tired of hearing it, he does what she asks. And God says if a lowly Lord over this area would answer because he's tired of hearing somebody ask and ask and ask, then how much better would it be if the righteous judge in heaven heard you call out for the thing that he wanted you to? He said, why don't you ask? I'm waiting for you to ask. And if he heard you ask and ask and ask and ask for the thing that he so desperately wants to do and change great and mighty things in your life, then how much greater would God show up than some unrighteous judge and act upon the things that you've begged him for that were right according to his will in this life? God says he's going to change things. But I can't quit praying. Do you know that I've heard of, we talked about George Mueller and other men who prayed for years, and after their death, people that were on their prayer list came to Jesus Christ. When you pray for the will of God, you are not wasting your time. Even if the answer doesn't come in your lifetime, God is a God who says he will answer your prayer. And God, by the way, doesn't have a lifespan. He always was and he always will be. He'll outlive us, and what a blessing it is to know that he is eternal. And the one that I put my faith and trust in the day I got saved is the one that's going to take care of me past this life. And hey, I would like to see the Undertaker come. But even if the Undertaker gets me, I put my faith and trust in something eternal, in someone eternal that sits in the heavens and rules and reigns in the affairs of men. And that same God said he'd answer my prayer. Listen, repetitive prayer. Do you know one of the things you don't want to use a repetitive prayer on is a prayer of faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, it happens like that? Do you know that sometimes because of false doctrine and people thinking that they can lose their salvation, people end up bowing their head every night and asking God to forgive them of their sins? Listen, when God forgives you of your sins with a great big S on the back end of sin, he does that once. He does it all in the past, and he does all the ones you ever committed in the future, and he saves you at that moment. Isn't it about time that we move past the place where we just are constantly hung up and praying about salvation when God did it, when he answered, when you called on his name? Do you know, instead of taking time to pray for yourself and your sins and getting hung up, step outside of that and live the way God wants you to live. And then have repetitive prayer. You say, what do you pray repetitive? I pray repetitive that God would do a work in my children's lives and he would bring a good young lady or a good young man that's saved and loves the Lord into my children's lives, that they might be able to marry right and live right. I beg God for that on a daily basis. And then after that happens, I thank God for that on a daily basis. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, we ought to be repetitive. Just because God heard it once doesn't mean he doesn't need to hear it again. Until it's done, if the unjust judge is good about answering, then how much better is our God? I want you to see, he reads in verse number 8. After he finishes that, he stops for a minute. I want to read verse 7. He says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Now, God is long-suffering. Verse 8, he says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" See, prayer is always directly connected to our faith. If you want to know how much faith that you really have in God, how much do you pray? Because if you really had faith in God, there wouldn't be anything in your life that you wouldn't pray about. And I wonder in this late hour, in this powerless and prayerless generation, I've often looked at the scripture and read this scripture, and I thought, what is God talking about? Because he's coming back for his own. He's going to redeem his people into himself. Surely he's going to find faith on the earth. But how much faith is he really going to find? Faith of a mustard seed that we call it on his name to be saved? That's good faith to start out with. But God said if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could ask God and he would move mountains for us. So how much faith do we really have? One sailor mustered up enough faith in his Savior to say, "Lord, if it's really you." Think about that. I thought about that this week. Do you know sometimes when God's asking us to do something or we hear his voice and he's calling unto us, we want to know if it's really God. We test the waters. And Peter says, "God, if it's really you, bid me to come unto thee on the water." Do you realize how much faith it took to step out of the boat that day? Believing that that is Jesus. That it's his Savior. And if it was him, he's walking on the water. And if he can walk on the water, then I can walk on the water through his power. Folks, I'm just telling you, sometimes we live powerless Christian lives because we don't pray. And all the time, the adjustable wrench is laying in the toolbox. And we could have picked it up at any time. And it would have fit our lives right where we were. And we could have turned the corner on faithlessness into being faithful in prayer. Today, I beg you, for our nation, on its birthday, wouldn't it be something if we decided, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray about this. For our church family, in this late hour, I don't want to cumber you with some things that I've heard this week, but I'm just going to tell you there was alarming things that have happened this week. If it happened to us, it would destroy our Christian school. Something that happened this week in Florida, just outside of our county. If they had done that to us, it would destroy our Christian school. Are we praying for our family, our church family, for the ministries of our church? Hey, how about your own family? Think about this. What is it that you really want for your children? I mean, we could pray for a great job or a great education. But what really matters, listen, after clicking off my 30th year, don't make me an expert, but I can tell you this. I'm thankful that I had people who prayed that I'd get the one that was made for me, that God's will would be in my life. It's meant everything to me. Hey, everything that I do in ministry is directly connected to that. Folks, we ought to pray for our family. This week, we ought to pray for our teenagers. I believe with everything that I am, some of them will make decisions that will change the trajectory of their lives this week. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just pray that souls will be saved or they'll be safe. And I'm glad for that. But why don't you pray for it? Listen, decisions will be made this week that will change their entire lives. Folks, I ask you to do this today. If you're here, this scripture goes on, if we were to read it. And there's a man that walks up to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 17, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now Jesus looks at him and pretty much tells him that he needs to love his neighbor as himself. But in the earlier verse, he has just had little children coming to him, and he says, "Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Do you know all you really need to do to be saved this morning is humble yourself as a child? That's one of the hardest steps in all the world. In other places, that would be repentance. Do you know a small child doesn't have to argue with you? They know when they're wrong. And they humble themselves. And then, listen, I'm going to tell you, you have to call on the right name. You know, people in this world have all kinds of names mixed up. People call on the name of Muhammad and Buddha and so many different names. Some of them call on the name of the Pope, or they call on the name of Mary. And none of those other names that may be named under heaven will save anybody except one, and his name is Jesus. He is the sinless Son of God who came from heaven and died on Calvary. But what makes him different than all the other names is that he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose up under his own power and took the keys to death and hell and victory. And victory can be found today through him in salvation. Because he lives, we can live. Because he is granted grace and salvation, we can have it if we call upon the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you today, if you're a Christian, choose to be prayerful, not prayerless. If you're a Christian in here today, choose to pray for the things that we've spoken for, to at least increase your faith in prayer. I ask you to do this. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you meet me in the front? Let me take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home by calling upon the name of the Lord this morning. There is such power. Great and mighty things happen when we call unto the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, dear God, I pray as the musicians make their way this way, I pray that you would help people. Some are making a decision right now whether they'll be saved or whether they'll stay in their seat. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would help them make the right decision. Draw them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw them unto salvation. Lord, right now, Christians in this place are thinking about everything except for prayer. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would convict their heart and draw them closer to your Son. Help them to think, I will pray. I will be more prayerful, not prayerless. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet as the musicians begin to play. If you're not saved, would you meet me here in the front? Would you step out and come, and I'll help you call upon the name of the Lord? If you're a Christian, listen, all of us could pray more. Why don't we come and pray for our nation? Why don't we come and pray for those in New Mexico? Why don't we step out and pray for our family and our church? Step out and do what God's asked you to do this morning, as Brother Burt sings.